Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, Orange Men and ladies. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Oh, yeah. Go there, join the militia. Happy. Get that out of order. Happy. What the hell day is it? Thursday. Happy Thursday. Okay? It's been a minute.
All right.
We were going to cover the ACC tournament, but it didn't happen for Syracuse. And what didn't happen was much. 19 turnovers, 30 points. And the officiating was not a factor, but it sucked. I mean, I think it killed momentum at the very least. Let's put it that way.
Is that fair? Took us out of our game.
Yeah,
took us out of our game. I thought that one play where Judah got raked across the face.
Well, that was a problem.
And he stole it, went down, and then he got teed up. So, yeah, we wanted to talk about it. We wanted to come back before the tournament, but we knew we weren't going to be selected to the NCAA tournament after last Wednesday. So we decided to wait until Sunday so that we could, see what happened, where we ended up. And as we'll get into what we found out on Sunday and into Monday, that's why now it's Thursday. We were waiting for some news to drop. Some news drop Monday, and here we are.
Here we are, and NC State goes on to just handle the tournament pretty well. Okay,
yeah.
Overtime game win against Virginia. They beat Louisville, Syracuse, Virginia, or Duke, Virginia, UNC.
North Carolina.
So is that the order it went? I think it was.
Yep.
And I guess all is well. Like my wife said, when the game was over essentially before the clock hit zero, but the game was pretty much over. We don't look so terrible now losing to NC State, which is true, but we also, it's the gut. You beat a team twice like that in the
season, right.
And then I was right, but it's not that I was right. It was that it's just for me, it just gives me a sick feeling.
Yeah.
We could have played a Louisville, we could have played a whoever, Pitt. Yeah, well, Pitt's playing at a higher level, I think, right now anyway. And you can argue your point that you made yesterday while we talked.
You'll get there.
Okay. You're going to either get there right now or not, because this conversation that we're about to have is probably going to take up the rest of the show.
Okay. Well.
So go ahead and make your point. We talked on the phone yesterday. Once again, should have recorded it. That happens quite a bit. I should probably stop calling. Inventing. My frustrations, airing my grievances.
Well, I mean, you don't want me to text, so.
Oh, no, you're right. I don't. You're right. It's true.
But, just again, something's got to be said about the net. It wasn't just ACC teams. There were some other teams, too, that felt like they got, kind of screwed a little bit with some seeding and stuff. Mountain West really didn't get the respect that the net gave them, but then, most of the other teams in these conferences that had the respect from the net, they got, respect. So it was a little weird. And, there was about three or four teams that took some bubble spots away, NC State winning could have took Pittsburgh out of it, right? Some of those other teams, that got in there that took some bubbles away that, you know, that could have taken some spots away. But, I mean, it just, again, goes to why the end of the year should mean more than, you know, the beginning. You look at Virginia, they had the resume to get in, but by the end of the year, they weren't playing so great. And it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have an opportunity. But, you know, when you got a team like Pittsburgh playing the way that they were, and go, you know, winning 12 out of the last 16 and not getting in, and then not even, you know, going into the NIT to decline the invitation like us. It stinks for a team like that, because that team was on the rise. They were playing well, and I think that they could have performed pretty good in this tournament.
Yeah, I think they're playing at a higher level than UVA. And we talked about UVA kind of, if anything, going in the other direction. And, I mean, they just proved our point that it's not the UVA that we're used to seeing. And that's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Yeah, well, that one was pretty embarrassing for them.
What was it, Colorado State?
14 points in the first, Virginia's game.
That's what I'm saying. It was Colorado State, though, right? Who the hell was it?
It was Colorado State, which, again, there's a lot of people that didn't think that, they thought they were going to be up there. They didn't think Colorado State was going to get a playing game. So, you know, I think that they had motivation to go out there and do that. But 14 points in the first half. And I mean, I think they went at one point like 10 minutes without scoring. Only ended up with 42 points. They ended up losing 67-42. It's like,
they got UVA'd.
Yeah, they did.
Right? To taste their own medicine.
Well, it's the way that they play, right?
Yeah.
They play tough defense. They play slow. If you get out on them and you get them out on their rhythm and you make them play fast and make them have to score, then that's when Virginia starts to get blown out like that.
Well, I just noticed something, and don't be alarmed or anything, but we're not recording any of the audio of this. So I'm solely relying on the video to be recorded after. So there's that. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Just in case, this has happened before where I forgot to record a whole show. I hit the wrong button or something, and we had to do two of the same shows in one night. Remember that? That
was fun. I do.
That was
fun. That doesn't. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So look, you know, I was mounting frustrations, and you know, I just, from my perspective, and anyone who's listened for any amount of time knows I'm kind of a cynical guy, and you know, I just don't have time for games, and by games I mean all of the added things that come with some of the things that are going on in the NCAA right now. Like I said to Joe yesterday, I mean, it's just not fun for me. Like, this is not fun. You know, you see a Justin Taylor go in the portal, you kind of like, okay, well, you know, kind of expected that. Maybe just not a good fit for Syracuse, right. You know, for both.
Boy, the fans are talking about that guy, too. Just, I wouldn't want to play here.
Well, I guess it's justified that he made the right decision. Now, you can have an opinion and say, you know, well, I don't think he was that good. It won't be that big of a loss. And, I mean, I'm not in the camp of, he wasn't that good, it won't be a big loss. But I mean, if I'm on the fence, I would jump that way. I'm just saying, to be completely honest, I just feel like that, you know, he had room to grow. I would have loved for him to do it here. I'm not someone that's going to go online and lambast anybody, but to each his own. I mean, look, there's a line, though, and I think you can read comments and know what the line is, okay? When it comes to ad hominem attacks, And things like that, you kind of make it personal. That's where I draw the line, and that's all I'll say about that. Okay, but
yeah, well, dude, but that guy was forced into play, right? I mean, realistically, if you look at it, if Benny works out, and I mean, that was Benny's spot, right? And if he works out, and Chance Westry doesn't get hurt, and some of these other guys don't get hurt, then he's probably on the bench. No one's even talking about him, right? But because we had all
he transfer anyway,
he had to come, yeah, right? But because he was in that situation, he had to come in and he had to play out of position and play minutes. And, you know, when you play minutes and you don't produce, our fans they just kill you. They rake you over the coals in the social media.
Well, I think our fans suck worse than any of the players on the team. And that's not all fans. it's not all of our fans, but I think a lot of our fans suck. I mean, I think the age of social media and I guess the generation that's grown up in it, I just like I, that's why I can't get down with some of the, that's why I can't get down with some of this stuff, dude. And I mean, I can't get down with the portal, man. The NIL is getting dumber and dumber. It is not something that I envisioned when we talked about this. We're so stupid looking back on this. We're so dumb. Guys being in commercials, doing autograph sessions, selling jerseys online. Like, this is what I'm thinking, right? They're going to have their own business. They're going to have people promote them in stores. They're going to have,
what it was supposed to be.
Dude, I don't think so. Well, then what the frick, man? Why didn't NCAA grab this thing by the horns and take control of it? They like to control everything else. Like, it's just gotten so dumb, and you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. This portal stuff sucks. I think loyalty is gone in basketball. Quadir is going to be – I loved Quadir, okay? I loved him. He doesn't have any loyalty to us, though. So, I mean, look, you got to do what you got to do, but I mean, whatever. I don't have nothing bad to say about the guy. I'm sad he's leaving. I'd love to keep him, but I'm not going to play the game where I'm going to get all bent out of shape about it. Barely get to enjoy them, and then they're either going to be walking on to somewhere else, or they're going to be offered money that Syracuse can't pay, or they're going to play these games where they go in the portal, they find out, you know, let's get offers here, let's get offers there, now we're working back and forth. What percentage of players make it out of college into the pros anyway? I mean, this is who thought that a get-rich-quick scheme for 18-year-olds was a fantastic idea? Like, if I would have known that this is what it was going to be, I could have told you this thing is doomed from the get-go. And that's what it is. It's dumb. It's doomed.
Now it's legal.
Now it's legal, and now it's even more dumb.
That's what NIL stands for.
Now it's legal.
And it's the thing, right? It's this, those collectives where essentially now you have boosters and alumni and people, they create these LLCs, these small businesses, and now it's legal because there's a little bit of a loophole, right? And again, the NCAA, I mean, that's hard to kind of attack, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's difficult, right? You got to go legal.
The NCAA doesn't have it. Well, now you've got, you know, now we've got Clemson joining a lawsuit, and that's a whole nother story about TV rights and may or may not leave and all of this realignment stuff. Like, dude, it's getting dumb. The arguments for NIL, some of them are good. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're bad. I'm not saying I don't think players deserve to be compensated after the NCAA is making billions off the backs of these athletes, but this is just not. I'm just so naive in I'm usually such a cynical prick too, man. You know, I'm just so naive, and I just try to see the good in some things that for these guys that, you know, I just think that it's dumb. I don't care. If you want to leave. I hold no grudge. I hold no alliance. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
Just
I,
like them.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not going to be loyal to anybody. This is Quadir for me. Quadir for me was a 4-year player. I was thinking of being able to enjoy this guy for 4 years and watch him develop. You're never going to get to do that anymore. At least next year, you're not going to get to do that anymore. That's the college basketball and football, bro. That we grew up with this.
You got to pay them to keep them.
Now it's too much of a business, and money corrupts everything. And money has corrupted this beyond repair. Now, all things
owners. Now there's high school agents, or now there's college
agents. Oh, these guys are getting offers in high school, and yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, but what I'm saying is that there's agents in college, at the college, where they're like, hey, I'll help you get some NIL money for this percentage, right? And, you know, you got people that are probably trying to take advantage of kids that don't know anything about money, right? It's an awful idea. They could have done this.
It is. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm going to let you.
Yeah, no, you're good.
It is, there's a predator aspect to this where the people you're mentioning don't give a rip about these athletes. They just know they have a chance to line their pockets with whatever deal they can get these kids. And, you know, I think that at the end of the day, a lot of futures are going to be ruined because of this. You know, go ahead and you make your point and we'll get into the rest of it. Make your point. I'm sorry. Did you forget it? That's my bad.
I mean, what I was going to say, that their NCAA could have done something to get these kids a little bit of money and not have to change the transfer portal rules. I still think if you didn't change the transfer rules, then I think that it wouldn't be as crazy. Obviously, there would still be some things. But at the end of the day, you know, the NCAA is always going to be like, oh, for the kids. And I just – it's bullshit. It's – you're putting a little bit of money in their pocket, maybe a lot of money from where they're coming from, right? But these kids ultimately, they want to make – their thoughts are, I want to get to the NBA. I want to make millions. And now really what you're doing is you're basically giving these kids, you know, oh, coach isn't treating you right. Oh, you're not getting your way. Bye. Right now, there's no accountability. Now there's I don't like it here. I don't like the way they're treating me. I'm just gonna leave. Right, like I mean, college is supposed to be where you develop, you know, young people to be
adults, to be ready for the real world, to get ready right? for the real to be world adults,
because the real accountability world's gonna kick in the nuts over and over again. Yeah. Right,
adversity.
You can't just at your job say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't like you. And then where are you going? You can't just turn around and just choose the job that you want, the job you're going to, right? You can't do that in relationships. You can't do that in anything. So it's just, it's like you said, it's a situation where now these kids, I mean, how hard are they trying, right? I mean, when you don't have that much money, you can't really do anything, right? So you're in your dorm or you're on campus or you're doing things that, you know, homework, looking at your you're working on your skill, you're working on your craft, doing all those things. When you have money, then you can go and you can do things. I just, when kids are staying in and taking NIL money instead of moving on into professional, because NIL, they make, you know, unless they get into the NBA, then they're going to make more money in college in the NIL. They're not giving them the incentive to work hard, and it's easy to take the easy path. And when you open up the doors and you unlock it and you just allow them to do it with no repercussion and no discipline, then that's not helping any of these kids.
Yeah. And, in you know, just to back up the transfer rule, okay, because you and I talked about this. We've talked about it before when it changed. We talked about just the rule in general changing in the pros and cons of it. And we said, oh, well, one time, right? One time. Well, one time is a lot when you're talking about 40,000 kids or whatever it is, right? So, you know, we've talked about it. All Things Orange brought it up in the thread on Twitter about how, you know, going back to a one-year sit could change some of this stuff. And obviously, that's probably that's like the easiest fix for this. Okay, the immediate transfer stuff came during COVID, and you know, COVID just, everybody just took that as an excuse to run with every dumb idea that popped into their tiny brains, and yep. You know, that's where that was born from. And you know, I think there's a really good point to be made that maybe, you know, we go back to sitting for a year, because you want to talk about player development. You want to talk about graduation rates. I don't know if anybody's heard Nick Saban's talk, and I don't know what his solutions are. And I don't know, you know, beyond the points that he made in regards to just the NIL and the transfer portal in general, where, you know, he brought up the graduation rates. He brought up the player development, and that the fact that too, then speak strictly talking about football, two NFL coaches came to him and told him these kids aren't resilient coming into the NFL anymore. They're not resilient. They're not accountable. They're not developed properly. And all of this comes down to greed and selfishness for me. And on the parts of many, I'm not talking about just athletes. And that's what I'm talking about, the predatory aspect of this, where the people making money are a percentage off of these kids and don't give a rip about their future. And I think that Nick Saban has a ton of really good points. And you know,
he does, but money makes money.
Money makes money, but you got to think about the percentage of kids who don't make it to the pros, and then they're sitting there left. You know, they left early, maybe. Okay, you're not getting a scholarship, or you're not getting, you know, you're not getting a degree if you leave early, right? Now, and you're going to make temporary money. It doesn't set you up the way it used to set you up. It doesn't set you up anymore. The NCAA is in the people involved in all of this get rich quick scheme are doing an injustice to these kids, and everybody can make their own decisions, but you need guidance. And like you said, you know, you don't know where a lot of these kids come from, and you can assume that many of them, I know how I grew up. If someone was waving a bunch of money in the Village East Syracuse, living in a freaking duplex at one point, if you wave a bunch of money in my face, in high school to play college, wherever, I'd jump right on it. I mean, it's very tempting. Men's basketball, men's basketball has a, it's about 20,000. Participants in men's basketball. It's about a 1.2% NCAA to major pro rate, just so you know.
Yeah.
1.2%. So you're going to need this temporary money. You may or may not get a scholarship, or excuse me, a degree. Nick Saban said every time a transfer, a student transfers, you can take 20% off of the probability of them graduating. That's 20. If you do it once, that's a lot. 20%, that's a lot. And all the work that goes into that, along with your athletics and whatever you're involved with, and practice and travel and all that stuff, like, dude, it's setting these kids up for failure. And that's one of the problems that's not going to show up, I don't think, until maybe the end of next year, right? Because we got to get like 4 years under our belts, right, to have the freshmen go all the way through, right? So
this is like, stop. No, because it's pretty much now we got to get used to. I mean, there's going to be a 4 to 6 player turnover every single year.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough for programs like Syracuse to keep up with any of this stuff, too. Let's be honest. I mean, I think some of the frustrations from fans, you know, I think it's, I'm in the camp, so of course I'm a little biased, but I think it's righteous anger. I think that it's just like you're taking something that we grew up with and we love, and you're flipping it on its head. It's just not the same. It's why, that's why I'm saying it's just not fun anymore. I mean, it's just not. You know, I'm a traditionalist in almost every aspect, and this is just not traditionally what. This is not, like, to use Saban's words, this is not the spirit of college athletics. It's not.
No, absolutely not.
It's not even close anymore. And it's sad to watch it just crumble because of greed and selfishness. And look, you could say, I think it's greedy and selfish. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm saying that's what it is. That's what it is. And
but it's at so many levels, though.
Too. It's at so many levels. I'm not
just blame.
I'm not blaming just the athletes. No, they're puppets on a string, kind of. I mean,
well, they know.
Yeah, I mean,
taking advantage of them.
Yeah, they're being taken advantage of, and I think that you know. So I had told Joe, I had told you that I thought I saw a quote from Quadir that said, you know, he wants to play at a basketball school. Okay, I can't find that quote anymore. So I just wanted you to know. I don't know if it's true unless you've seen it.
No, I haven't seen it. Okay. I heard it from you.
Okay. Well, anyway, I haven't seen it again. Thought I saw it on one of those. You know how Syracuse.com puts out those like eye-catching meme things? You know, I thought I saw it on one of those, and I just kind of scrolled past it. Like, it didn't bother me until I really thought about it. But anyway, you know, we don't know what's going on with Judah Mintz. You know, what kind of ducks is he getting in a row? And, you know, we can talk about Chris Bell, right? I mean, body language tells me Chris Bell's not extremely happy. Maybe he's just real mellow like that. I don't know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But, he could be.
But, you know, kind of like a Malik Brown. Like, I don't feel like a Malik Brown is unhappy. You know, so we'll see. I did expect to see more of this after Justin and Quadir left. But I'll say this, you know, the fans kind of dogging Coach Autry, because Coach Autry said, you know, when you get a post, postseason opportunity, you take it. And then we found out that Syracuse took themselves out. Well, something told, I believe that's what Coach Red believes and thinks. I do.
I believe those coaches wanted to play.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that only leads us to believe that that it wasn't good enough for some or many or who knows, right?
Right. Well, I mean, we finished the season with, what, 8 healthy scholarship players?
8, which is threading a needle as it is.
Right. So then to say that they don't want to play and that they want to get there, now you're down to 6. Now, you're really going to go into a tournament like that?
And say they're quad ear. I mean, this is all hypothetical. I'm just saying. Say they're quad ear and Justin. Then what? What do you do? You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, and we don't know what other shoe's going to drop. And
you're going to have Kyle Cuff coming off the bench.
And by the way, like, it's been what? It's been since Monday, really, right? It's been since Sunday, Monday morning. Then we get
Monday's when the transfer portal opens.
So I haven't listened to any of Joe's favorite podcasts.
I haven't listened to.
Okay. Well, I wish I knew what they were saying. I'd be very curious because my focus is solely on what this has become and how sad it is to me that this is the product that we're going to have to endure from now on. And I mean, it's just not, I don't know, to have to build a team to win a championship every year is highly unlikely for a school like Syracuse to get there for basketball. I'm talking about basketball right now. Right.
I mean, yeah. So I listened to, Brian Higgins, you know, like I said, the
ESPN, what is that? Or Sports Talk local, or whatever. Yeah.
And basically, I mean, it's almost like, I'm not saying, I mean, I don't think, they don't really sometimes get as emotional, you know, they do a radio show and they've done it, they do it daily, so, you know.
Oh, they get
paid. But it's almost like it is what it is, right? I mean, we can sit here and we can have our opinions and we can sit here and, you know, bring up why we don't think this is a good idea. But at the end of the day, right now, these are the rules. This is what we have to deal with. So, right. 2 guys went in the transfer portal. Okay. Like now, you know, what are we doing with Judah? I told you, you know, that who knows, you know, there's a bunch of reasons why players go in the transfer portal. Just because you go in the transfer portal doesn't mean you can't come back. And
it's true.
And at the same time, there's some players that go into the transfer portal because they're happy about NIL stuff or maybe their position on the team, right? And so he could go in there and he can start hearing from some suitors and then he can use that as a bargaining chip, right? Go back to Syracuse and say, look, I really want to stay here, but this is what the deal is. So we're not out of the woods yet, you know, and I did speak to you about maybe because Judah is still, we are waiting to hear, but maybe Judah said he's coming back, and maybe Quadir got mad because he assumed he was going to be the starting point guard next year. Like, we don't know.
What did Jesse Edwards leave to make?
I want to say it was either, I think it was 800,000 or 850,000, something like that. We were about 600,000 away from what West Virginia offered.
Okay.
So, I mean,
how many games did he end up playing? He got injured, right?
He got injured. He broke his wrist. They only won 10 games. Like I told you the other day, I'd be willing to. I kind of want to wonder, did he get all that money? You know?
Yeah. Is there stipulations or clauses in contracts where if you don't play a certain amount of games or the team doesn't win a certain amount of games that, you know, you get X amount of percentage instead of 100, you know? I mean, yeah, I mean, who knows what kind of goes on behind closed doors, and we're seeing how most of the sausage is made, but we don't know the fine details, right? So, right. You know, but I'm just as an example, I mean, you know, he barring the injury, you know, in different circumstances and being in Syracuse, like, they'd be a tournament team. In my opinion, I just don't believe it for a second that they wouldn't be a tournament team right now. We'd be talking about NCAA tournament games and not this garbage because we wouldn't be here. And look, there's no way to fix it. It is what it is. But I'm just saying, you know, I think Jesse made a move for money and I don't think it worked out for Jesse. Like you said yesterday, Joe, how they chirped about Jesse pretty early in the season. And now, I mean,
you didn't hear nothing about him.
You didn't hear anything about Jesse Edwards.
No. But the telling thing too is that, you know, you had one donor from West Virginia put up all that money for Jesse. And all we could eke out was 250,000. We couldn't have some, I mean, we don't have somebody that's like locked and loaded with, you know, oh yeah, we did. That's right. We stopped messing with them. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, some of that's somewhat.
I'm just saying, legit. You don't have I feel any like, alumni or booster. You can go to him and be like, someone can go to him and be like, hey, look, we're 250, a quarter mil, and we can have Jesse Edwards back next year. And this dude's a millionaire or some, you know what I mean? Like, we don't got that. But we're competing with teams that have a lot of that stuff. You know, how many, you know, that Texas oil money. You know what I mean? How much money you think those schools down in Texas are coming up with NIL money? Yeah. Stuff that we can't compete with, right?
Right.
And so as long as it's about the money for a player, we probably ain't going to win that battle. So, I mean, you got to take a different approach, right? You got to go the Fran Brown approach. He doesn't want it. That's the first thing he want to hear about is money. You know, when he's talking about Dart and all this other stuff, you know, that's what's kind of getting me to buy in a little bit with him, you know? What is it? Discipline, accountability. Was it resilience or?
Resilience and tough.
I thought it was resilience or relentlessness, something, one of the two, right? But that's what he's expecting from his players. He don't want to hear about money. He don't want to hear about any of that. He wants to know that he can trust these players. He wants to know that these players are going to be loyal because he's going to be loyal to them. So hopefully there is a light at the end of the tunnel with some of this stuff, because I think, again, this is eventually going to, you know, rear its ugly head. You know, looking at Fan Nation, NIL Fan Nation, 10% of D1 men's basketball players already entered the transfer portal. By the end of Tuesday night, 2 days, 48 hours, there was 555 players in the transfer portal already.
It's relentless. Relentless, by the way.
Okay, relentless. Okay. One out of every 10 college players, according to Fan Nation, this article, one out of every 10 players entered the transfer portal. It's crazy. But to Brian Higgins, to what he was talking about, was basically, look, I mean, it stinks losing Kadir. You know, he spoke about, you know, Justin Taylor and how even on his way out, there was fans that were still ridiculing him and criticizing him. And
well, that's going to make the angry fans angrier. Justin had a good opportunity to develop here. That's my opinion.
I believe so, too. But the one thing that he brought up yesterday when I was listening to was essentially that Judah, you know, remember last year, you know, Judah, we didn't know what he was going to do. And then he, I'm going to, you know, try my talents in the NBA, but I'm not going to get get an agent so that I can come back, right? And then he goes, and then on the last day that they could announce whether you're going to stay in the NBA draft or come back, he waited till then to announce that he was coming back. And to what Brian Higgins, what he was talking about yesterday, and his point is, Judah, you can't be that selfish of a player this year just for attention. We need to know. Kadir just left. We need to know whether or not you're staying or not. So we know whether or not. And I don't know. Maybe it's a thing where he's just waiting for a certain amount of time. I don't know. I don't know what he's waiting on, but it's going to be real hard for him to do the same thing he did last year and go through this all the way through, you know, May or early June or whatever, and lose the opportunity to possibly get, you know, because there's going to be some great point guards that are coming from smaller schools and transferring from bigger schools that maybe their coach got fired, and they're going to want a starting position. Some of these players are going to want a guaranteed starting position. Some of them, that's what they care about, especially if they're graduate transfers, more than the money, is to move up from a lower level conference team that they've been kicking butt in and prove that he can do it in a big level and put him in a situation where he might get drafted, right? So if Judah hangs around and he just holds this over our heads for the next couple months, all this doing is hurting our team. So, I mean, and that's what Brian Higgins was talking about yesterday on his show. It's basically, you know, come on, Judah, like, make a decision. I'll give you a week, I'll give you two, but at some point here, we need to figure it out so we can move forward. It would be different if Kadir were still on the roster, right?
Yeah, I think so. If it was just Justin Taylor, it wouldn't even be. I'm not even sure if I would have developed. You know, I've thought that for a minute about how much I hate it, but I don't think it would have impacted me, like, emotionally, like, just not anger, but just frustration and if Kwadir stayed. I kind of expected Taylor, and didn't surprise me until, let's put it that way, but Kwadir did. Kwadir, that surprised me. And for a guy who is a fan favorite, it just goes to show that it doesn't matter anymore. The loyalty, I just don't think is there. And it, God forbid if this stuff happened in the 80s and 90s, you know, what, where we'd be now. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about it. Like, you have, like, legacy players for Syracuse that you probably, there's a good chance maybe you wouldn't have them. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's true.
You know, it's changed the game to a point where it's just made it not fun for me. I put a poll out on Twitter. Has the NIL and portal been good for NCAA basketball and football? I include both of those because they're the two most impacted, obviously, right? So 289 votes, a resounding 63% said no. Your choices were yes, no, portal only, or NIL only. And to be honest with you, it's kind of weird. I figured NIL only would have been a little bit more, you know, a little bit less. That was second place with 21.8. So people do believe, first of all, people believe that both of them affected it more than anything, 63%, and that second comes the money issue.
But again, that's the thing, right, is, and again, we've always spoke about Syracuse as like family, right? And, you know, usually the players they go through play 3 or 4 years, we see them develop. You can see him as a freshman, be like, oh, man, he's going to be good, and see the growth. Oh, man, he's going to get excited about him, right? And then, you know, they're in the community, and it feels like a family, and that's why you have so many players come back, you know, when Boeheim retired, and players come back just to go to games, and they're just part of, there's a lot of players that are still part of this, that community. Right. So the more this goes towards that, and the less that the players care about the community and the school and the fans, and like you said, the loyalty, then I feel like the less the fans are going to start caring. And it's not like they won't watch the game, but like, okay, maybe instead of getting season tickets, we're only going to go to a couple games, right? Maybe instead of putting in NIL money, you know, I'm not going to put in NIL money, you know, because it's just, it's whatever. You know what I mean? I paid that guy, or, you know, we paid that guy last year. We put in this money. He just left anyway, right? So at the end of the day,
you get jaded by stuff like that. I mean, you know, we're only human, right? So you get jaded. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought twice about, I mean, am I going to donate the amount of money I donated this year to NIL, to another collective? Like, I started thinking, I mean, I'm like, I don't know, man. I'd rather just write a check to someone who's going to give the money directly to a player. Like, I'd be all for that, right? Contractual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Give me 2 years.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this collective thing, Orange United, which I donated to and I pushed on this program, I don't know what percentage is going to the kids. I started thinking about this just the past couple of days.
We know how much, well, not only that, but do we have a situation where we don't even know really where they're going to, right? That's another thing. So just realistically, I don't. It's always sketchy when you do stuff like that, right? Like nonprofits. Oh, give to this nonprofit, right? But like we all know, someone's getting some of that money. And it's just one of those things where if people continue to pay NIL and they continue to try to support, go to the game, they're spending their money, and then these kids just want to bail. I mean, at what point are the fans going to be just screw it? Are we going to start losing on attendance? I mean, I feel like this is, we've been going down in attendance anyway the last couple of years, some of it because of our performance, but also probably it has to do with the economy up there, right? So it's not easy for everybody. And just this is just, it just almost pushes it, you know, it just pushes it over the edge a little bit to me, to where at what point is it going to be the fans don't care? And then we don't have any NIL support. Then what happens?
Yeah. I mean, yet to be seen, I believe. Back to Twitter. I got a couple more here. It's, Well, I won't go over that. I mean, Cuse Waterboy responded to mine. Let's go to some original stuff. I'm sorry, I didn't see that before, so I haven't read it yet. But this is 100% on the NCAA for not putting up guardrails and having a plan in place. They just opened Pandora's box with chaos. Players absolutely should benefit from NIL, but it can't just be everyone chasing the bag and no focus on development. Maybe a transfer limit to then sit out. That's kind of what I'm talking about too, for the most part. I think obviously, dude, I'm behind the players being able to make money off their name. I mean, hello, this is America. That's not the issue. Okay.
That's not the issue. Like, we pay into it.
Yeah.
We're not against it. We're giving you money.
Right. Exactly. It's not that. It's that the NCAA ruins everything. They ruin everything. They are the fourth branch of government, and they just suck at what they do.
It's people in power, period.
People in power, government, NCAA, they just suck at what they do. They're terrible at it. It's self-interest, self-pleasuring. It's a circle full of jerks. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and at the end of the day, like I said, where's the money funneling, right? It's always about following the money, right? And it's like, hey, well, these players need money, right? It could be an argument that giving these players that much money at this young of an age and not holding them accountable and allowing them to stay where they decided to go to school and grow as a person and become adults, that giving them that money and allowing them to just decide everything that they want to do, now that's probably hurting a lot of players' chances to make even more money later down in the road. On top of the fact of taking away more money from the middle class and people that are paying to buy tickets, fans paying into monthly NIL things, right? So they're paying money, boom, that's going to the players. Those players, they're going to spend it. That's not like FU money. That's not money that's going to, they're going to, you know, graduate and have money to buy a house and all that. You know what I mean? Like players in the NFL that go through college without NIL money, they go bankrupt. There's a big percentage of players that do that stuff. So at the end of the day,
yes,
maybe some of this money going home to the parents, to mom or someone, and making, you know, brothers, sisters, making their lives a little easier. Yes, there's that too. But at the end of the day, all that money is just, it's coming, what, out of our pockets, into the players' pockets, players into what, bills, consumer, buying stuff, gone, right? Meanwhile, what happens? You have good enough NIL, you pay your players, your school gets more money. So now all this money and all this revenue is coming in from the consumerism. All it is making the richer rich, or the rich richer. Realistically, when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. I think it's boiled down. The main point is smaller than that. I do. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But I think
boiled down,
you can keep this in a very small. You can keep this in a very small conversation.
Oh, you and definitely that, can.
That kids are super entitled now. They're being told they can make money immediately. It is brainwashing. There's no accountability. It's instant gratification. All of these cultural things beyond what I think that. Which is a good point. I'm on the same page with you with that. But it's cultural things. It's and when I say culture, I mean like the era we live in with social media and the era we live in with just the ability to do this stuff in the open and have people make money on the backs of players, which is what they were already doing. They were already doing this. And now, now the players just can't get in trouble for getting paid for it. You know, who was it that got all the tattoos? He was paid with tattoos, basically suffered tremendously. Who was that? Do you remember? It's a football player.
He was a quarterback at Ohio State.
Yeah. Like they weren't even giving the guy cash. He was getting paid in tattoos. Like
Prior.
Yes. Prior. That's right. Ex-Raider.
He turned a receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing? You know, the guy got punished for getting tattoos back in the day, and this is what we're doing now. I mean, it wasn't another era. Like, it was just a few years ago. It's so it's so out of control. It's so out of control. Let's head back over to Twitter. Let's do a couple more of these, Joe, and we'll wrap this thing up. At Zach E. Flynn?
Dean?
People voting no are not realizing that the product, at least in basketball, was hurt significantly. They were losing more recruits than ever to overseas in development leagues. NIL isn't perfect, but it's better than not getting any top talent, any top-end talent at all. I mean, look, we've talked about it. We've talked about that this will stop that, right? Well, it hasn't. We're still dealing with the same thing. It's the same thing. So how can you say that the people voting no don't realize that the product, at least in basketball, was hurt significantly? Is the product being hurt, Joe?
Well, I mean, I think what he's speaking to is that for the past couple of years, there's been like alternative development leagues that you can go in right from high school, or you can go right from high school to overseas and then go and get drafted. So what he's saying
we've made
is
that point.
More college. So college basketball isn't even seeing a lot of the best players because they're choosing and opting to not go to college basketball and go to these other leagues. Now that there's NIL money involved, then there's the feeling of the fact that basically these people are now going to go to college and get this money instead. And that, but we're talking about, I mean, let's be honest here. Last year,
whoever pays the most money for the best players is going to win most games.
But there was NIL last year.
Yeah.
And last year in like the top 10 picks in the NBA draft, I want to say 3 or 4 of them were kids that didn't go to high school, like Scoot Henderson, the two Thompson twins. Like, we don't even know about them because they didn't go to college. They went to this other developmental league straight from high school, and they ended up being top 10 picks. Do you think that they think that they made a bad decision by not going to college? And there was NIL involved as well. And what I'm saying is you're talking about a handful of kids here. You're talking about 8, 9, 10 kids, okay? Like 8, 9, 10 kids, and you sprinkle them around NCAA basketball in the 50 or 60, however many Power 5 conferences there is, then you're really not – I mean, you're not saving college basketball. I think that there's players that – and people think that college basketball, I think the fans, they understand that it's college basketball, and they understand that, you know, a lot of these players aren't going to be NBA players, right? So, I think that and you know, NCAA basketball, I think, is fine as far as, you know, being a good product and being, I mean, last year's tournament was great to watch, and it didn't have 4 or 5, maybe 6 of the best, you know, a couple of the best high school recruits, but we didn't know them. We never saw them. It didn't make a difference. So I don't agree with that one.
I'm not really even sure about the product. It's more of an emotional attachment to the team that I grew up with. I mean, you know, Syracuse basketball was the first sport I fell in love with, and this is what it is now. It pisses me off a little bit. It's frustrating. A couple more here. At Trade CNBC, whatever the hell that means. Worse for basketball, I'd say those kids seem to get disconnected quicker. I guess football guys understand getting bigger takes time, plus experience and bigger is almost always better in football. Yeah, I mean, just to kind of cruise by this one, I mean, Nick Saban was on Capitol Hill with the boobs, and they're having problems in football too. I think it's probably a good point that maybe we see it more in basketball. Like it's more obvious in basketball, right? First of all, it's less players. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's a good point, but I would say it comes down to it's less players. It's you know, you get more attached to your core group of guys, and seems like the loyalty aspect there is a little bit more. Gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a little bit more relevant, I feel like. Like, you know, it's a little bit more personal, I feel like, in the basketball world. And so it's different. It is different in that aspect, I feel.
And you see the faces.
You see the faces a lot. Helmets. Yeah, you know, there's more emotion. There's just, you know, just take Kwadir. I mean, the dude's a showman, right? I mean, you know, all the thing that the mannerisms in come across just in basketball way different than football.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just a little bit more personal, I think, and that's the difference. Let's do another one here. All right. Finish it up with this, I guess. At Syracuse Nerd 44, college athletes deserve to be paid. No one, I'm not saying that at all, but paying someone more to get us to a school is dumb. It shouldn't be even. The portal is horrible. I'd say neither, just the NIL. That's a tough comment to read.
Well,
actually,
I think what he's saying.
Yeah, please.
So he had an extra two in there, but he just said school is dumb, and basically, I think he missed a comma there, and said it should be even. I think what he's talking about is that the transfer portal money should be even across the board for every single team, right? Like we talked about before, you have a cap of how much you can spend every year.
You should have a cap, but look, I don't know if that fixes things. I think there.
I mean, it kind of does. You can't be asking for a crap ton of money. I mean, some of these schools it's going to get to a point to where some of these basketballs, you're going to be able to pay, like, your starters $1 million a year.
Who's the dude? USC. Is it USC? We talked about. I brought it up yesterday. I forget the guy's name.
That's how much
I give a crap. Demanding a share of the stake of the team that he gets drafted to. Like what? Shut the F up, pal. What the hell? Who are you? Where is this coming from? Like whoever drafts that dude, if he does get drafted, that sets the precedent that will never. That's another problem. That's their problem. That's the NFL's problem. Mm. I don't think it's going to happen. Would you draft a guy like that?
No.
Hell no. Right?
I don't even think he's that good. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I would have taken him at Syracuse, but I don't think he's like number one. I should have a piece of the damn. Business.
Stake of the share,
you know what I mean?
Or share of the stake, yeah. Or share whatever.
Besides, I think that's illegal.
I don't think anything's illegal anymore.
Right. No,
as far as that goes,
I think Syracuse. Well, yeah, we never know, right? Syracuse Nerd. I think he kind of hit it. Like, I mean, yeah, it should be even, but even if it's not, like he said, the portal is horrible. I'd say neither are just NIL. So I think kind of right there. I think that what you need to do is you need to fix the transfer rule. You need to fix the transfer rule and then see what that does. Because at least that forces kids to make a decision, because it's too easy to just say, oh, I'm just going to put myself in the transfer portal, wait to see who's going to come chase me and what are they going to give me, right? And then you're going to be able to just go ahead and go and start versus, yeah, you can put yourself in the portal. You can come see who's going to chase you and this, this, and that, but you got to sit out a year. So you got to sit out. So you go a whole year and a half of not playing and doing your college and your this and that. And I don't know if they're going to give you NIL while you're not playing. So
shouldn't get anything while you're not playing. What about this here? Not real penguins. Not real penguins on Twitter. Transfer portal is fine. You want out, enter the portal, but leaving a team just for money isn't right. It's not college anymore. It's minor league professionals now. Why don't you just start a minor league? Just start a minor league and be done with it. I just feel like back to the G League comment, that kind of like what we were talking about. I mean, you know, I'm going to speak for you. I thought this would fix that, but it seems to me it doesn't, it hasn't, it's six and one, half a dozen in the other. And unless you fix the portal issue and maybe a cap, then this is just going to get dumber and dumber every year.
Yeah. And you could argue, too, that they allow this to happen to keep the kids in school. It's kind of towards the point of, Zach Efeeney.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did the same thing I did. Yeah.
So, I think that they were seeing kids go early because they're like, look, I got a limited amount of years. We said it before. I've got a limited amount of years that I can make money playing a game and good money. So if I think I can go make money, I'm going to go. Even if it's try out the NBA, go second round. Okay. Well, G League, try that for a couple of years. Don't make it in the NBA. Okay. Now I'm out to China or I'm out to wherever, where you make really good money in some of those leagues. So now, honestly, I think that doing that, I think, was taking away a lot of the better players from college, and they were leaving earlier. But also that takes money away from the university's pockets, right? And it takes money away from the NCAA's pockets. So, hey, we give them a little bit of money, and now they're going to stop doing that. They'll stay in longer, you know, Baycott, some of these other guys. So to a point, you know, to a point, yeah, that's kind of I think that's why that was allowed in the first place. You know, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, I think this whole thing about it's for the players, NCAA for the players, it's just a false flag. Anything that they do,
the NCAA's for the NCAA. Hey,
they're doing it for themselves.
Yeah,
they're looking at how they can help them in the universities.
Yeah. All right, Joe, any closing thoughts? I mean, I don't know when we'll be back. Joe's going to be sad. He was so excited today that we were coming on here.
Well, they just started spring practice, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yep.
They did.
Yeah.
In a couple weeks, I think there'll be a spring game. I think it's going to be on ACC Network, so. I don't know. We could come back after that, or if there's enough news that, you know. I don't know why you're laughing. I don't know why.
Oh, God.
It's not funny. It's just really not.
I don't know why you're laughing.
Oh, Joe. My God, man. Are you going to keep me doing this until, like, am I going to stop? Am I going to retire from my job and still be doing this stupid podcast? Is that the road I'm going down? I sit in this stupid room in the back of my house and record this thing?
I'm out. First off, number one.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to get to smoke a cigar. It's 6:30. That's an hour and a half endeavor, and it's not going to happen. I did this instead.
Dude, we started this at 5:30. If it was an hour and a half endeavor, you knew that you weren't smoking a cigar regardless.
I was trying to be done at 6. I would smoke what I could. You know?
All right. I mean, look, I started this. You asked me if I wanted to do this. I started this. You wanted to do this.
8 years ago.
Now you make it sound like I'm.
8 years ago.
Yeah.
We've grown up so much since then.
It's not fun anymore.
I've told you 10 times this episode, this is not fun anymore.
Well, you thought you were talking about college basketball and the NIL.
Everything. This whole thing. It's not fun anymore. It's not.
All right.
Oh, man. We'll see. We'll see when we come back. I had a nice little break. It was a nice little break. You know?
What I was just gonna say. This is just you,
dude. It's a gauntlet, man. And we said we were gonna do something different this year, and we didn't. We just did the same thing we always do, which is get here every second we can. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
No, we can figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'll tell you what. I'm at least doing a season of Fran Brown anyway, so there's that. We'll go from there.
Fair.
I'm committing to that, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
If that ends up sucking, though, I'm scrubbing everything from the internet.
Look, all I'm going to say is that it sounded like you were trying to basically get to the point where you were like, all right, this is the last podcast until fall ball. Sorry.
I was pushing it. I knew you wouldn't let it happen. We'll see. Joe begs me during the offseason, hey, man, it's been 2 weeks. Don't you think we should do something to stay relevant? I mean, for God's sakes, we've been doing 8 years. If we're not relevant yet, then I don't know if we'll ever be. Come on. By the way, we're not. And we won't. And we won't. So it is what it is. Love you guys. Appreciate all of you. That's not it. That's it. And that's probably a good reason why people don't even bother. Anyway, I appreciate all of you for tuning in. We'll be back here at some point, maybe. Not sure. We'll see. Whenever Joe gets super bored, I'm sure he'll bug me. Till then, we're out. For Joe, I'm Sean.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.